And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF Kyle High with you this morning. I hope everybody is doing well. It is beautiful out there right now. A little overcast, but it is 64 degrees. We'll get up to the mid-70s for today. And joining me in studio, as we were talking about earlier, is Dr. Craig Correll, the superintendent of USD 445. Good morning, Dr. Correll. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good. Of course, we got the school board meeting going on tonight. And just a few things looks like here on the agenda, and including the strategic plan for the social emotional update, correct?
Yes, it is. There are essentially five outcomes for the Kansans Can model that Dr. Randy Watson put forth about 5 years ago. And social emotional learning is one of those areas. And so the district has obviously adopted these areas because they are state board goals. And they've also adopted these goals as part of our accreditation plan. So there's an annual accreditation cycle that all public schools and colleges go through. So the board's going to hear a little bit about our progress in that measure.
All right, and that's what's still going to be going on. And also the KASB delegates.
Yes, the Kansas Association of School Boards is an organization here in Kansas that we're very fortunate to have. So they give guidance to local school boards and offer support and different workshops. And so we're going to visit tonight about who, if one of our board members would like to be that delegate for USD 445. And then they would attend sessions at the state level and just learn a little bit more about school boards and how they work on more of a global scale.
And is that going to be something where is it going to be like a virtual one, or is it going to be an actual in-person one, or how's that going to work out? Or have they even decided that yet?
It is 2020, so you know that's coming up in the air, but recently they have decided to go ahead and do that delegate assembly virtually this year. So that's typically the first weekend in December, so it's coming up in just a little. Well, actually, just a couple of weeks. November's really starting to slip away from me.
I know, man. It just started, and it feels like it's just flying by.
Yeah. So, yeah, that will be done virtually, so our board members, our delegate, will be able to attend in that way.
And Andrew Talbot, who is the building controls and services, he'll be talking about the HVAC installation bids.
Yes. What we've done is we've had some issues with air conditioning at the middle school and the high school for several years, and we've been, you know, our maintenance crews have been hard at work. You know, every year keeping those things going. And so this year it was really time to go ahead and just put a little bit more extra work inside of those. Fortunately, that, you know, we were able to replace a lot of the parts within those. So he's going to come tonight and speak to the board about that progress.
All right. So again, being able to keep that going, and also enrollment information. And I do know that, you know, some schools have been obviously this doesn't have to do with enrollment, but we'll get to that in a second. So what's going to be our enrollment information that we're talking about tonight?
You know, enrollment across the region, across the state, and across the nation has just been something that, you know, everyone's been concerned about this year. And, you know, districts just have students that didn't enroll, that are hard to find. And we've had a lot of area schools that lost enrollment also. We've lost a little under 4%. So really, when you look at the area, we've probably lost some of the fewest of some of the area schools. You know, we hate that, and we really hope that we're going to get those students back when it comes time for next school year.
And they're counted as enrolled, though, if they're doing virtual. Is that correct, or does that not count
if they are enrolled in the Coffeyville USD 445 program? Mm-hmm. Then they would be counted. If they've enrolled in something else that's out there, then they wouldn't be counted in that enrollment.
Okay, so even if they're doing 445 virtually, it's still counted as an enrolled
student.
Yes, enrolled
the remote learning for UC 445 and the virtual program, we do have both. That can get a little confusing.
Okay,
but yes, those both are still counted as Coffeyville students, and then we still receive the funding from the state for those students. So like I said, the 4% decrease that we had is manageable, and it really pales in comparison to some of the others around the area.
Another thing I was wanted to talk about, of course, you know, obviously the elephant in the room was always COVID-19, and how has that been? How's it been going so far? I know there's been a few schools that have been hit harder than others. How has USD 445 been doing all around?
You know, we got together in early July with our teachers and our administrators and health department officials, and really, and we still feel this way. We put together a great plan. And we've maybe tweaked a little bit of it, but really not much. I'm just getting everybody together and working diligently throughout July to have a firm plan has really paid off for Coffeyville. You know, we've had a few cases, we've had some quarantines, but overall, we've really had very few compared to some of the others around the area, and that makes us feel good about what we're doing. We just know we can't let up now. And what we found, and there's a lot of political divide about this, but what we found, you know, masks really seem to be working for us. Our students and our staff wear masks all day, every day. You know, they do go outside every hour or so and take them off and take a mask break. But what we've seen is we've had students that tested positive due to being exposed outside of school. But even though we've quarantined a lot of those students that they might have been around during the day, we haven't had one case, and I'm knocking on wood here, right, we haven't had one case of school spread. So not one of those positives has spread COVID within our schools. And so, you know, we're really sticking to that policy of wearing the masks for everyone in our schools. And, you know, we feel the remote days have helped. We have the remote days on Wednesdays, and that was something the teachers really wanted to have for planning purposes, but we wanted to have for cleaning purposes too. So we have students in for 2 days, and then we have a day to really do that deep cleaning, and then they come back for 2 days, and then we have the weekend. So, you know, we think everything we put in that plan has really helped mitigate the spread of COVID within USD 445.
And of course, you've had the students also doing kind of like as if they were driving, walking on the right side of the hall, basically, instead of just all intermingling, basically just two-way traffic inside the hall to help with the social distancing, correct?
There is. And at the elementary school, some of the measures we've put in place there, and we hope to maybe keep some of these measures. You know, sometimes you react in a way that you think, maybe we should have done this before. At the elementary school, for example, the K through second grade students eat breakfast and in lunch in their rooms. And so what that does is it really frees up our cafeteria for our students to be able to spread out more. And if you've ever been in our cafeteria before, you know, we have 1,000 students at CE. And so in order to feed them, we usually have a few hundred at a time in the lunchroom.
Right.
And through no fault of anyone's, 300 people in any room can get a little loud.
Yeah.
And by removing those three grade levels this year, you walk into lunchtime now, and I think our students are enjoying it so much better because they can sit and they can eat, and it's a more calming environment.
And
they
spread out a little bit.
And they can talk to their neighbors. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, we all like to do that. When we eat a meal, we like to visit. Mm-hmm. And so that's really paid off. Something else we've done, the teachers are, we're not intermingling our classes at CE, so we keep that one cohort together all day. And so what that's done is the teacher is with that class all day long. So they're taking that class out to recess and back. And so we've noticed fewer behavior issues at recess. And you can imagine when you have somebody different watching the kids at recess, it's a little different than
right. When
that teacher's right there keeping an eye on you all the time. So, you know, a couple of those things we hope will pay off in the long term. And we'll implement some of these. And maybe we'll change them slightly, but implement some of these changes on down the line.
And, of course, students, when they're coming in, they're still getting temperature tested to make sure. And just in case, if a temperature ends up being a little high, are they retested? Are they tested for COVID-19 right then?
That's a great question. If they're tested a little high, they're sent to the nurse's office, and then the nurse will examine them a little more thoroughly. If it's just a high fever, they'll probably call their parents and come get picked up. Typically, if they have two or more symptoms, that's when you would possibly test for COVID, but that's never done unless we call home to the parents, ask the parents' permission, and then we would test.
Right, and obviously, you know, with that happening, like you said, the parent has to approve it. Those tests, what I was trying to get to is those tests come in pretty quick. The results come in pretty quick, correct?
We do have the rapid testing in place now. That like everything else with COVID, they were back ordered for a long time. So just in the last couple of weeks, and we've had the actual machines to do the testing in since the first day of school, but the tests have just come in. So Community Health Centers of Southeast Kansas does have the tests available, and they're the rapid tests. So they're usually within, you know, 15-20 minutes to get those results back. And that's a good measure to help mitigate the spread also. If somebody is positive, we know very quickly, then we can isolate them. them and have their parents come pick them up to quarantine.
Absolutely. So it sounds like everybody's working well together. You guys got a great plan going on over there to help mitigate the spread of the coronavirus. And just sounds like you guys are doing a great job over there. And also with the what has been the response so far? I know I asked you this pretty much every time, but it always changed a little bit. What's been the response so far with the distance learning so far?
Yeah, remote learning isn't for everyone, and it definitely isn't as good as face-to-face. That's why we have teachers. That's why we can all remember those great teachers we had in elementary, middle, and high school. But it's definitely served a purpose. And what we've seen, and the plan that we created early on, and we're one of the few, maybe the only one that I know of, that is that the boundary is very porous. So those students can be remote 1 week, they could change back to on-site the next week, and then if something was going on and they had some health issues, they could go back remote. And so having that, I think, has helped some of our families that maybe have had some exposure issues and whatnot. And so it's been a very smooth transition. It's taxing on our teachers. They are doing double the work.
Right.
They are planning for both on-site and remote learning. You know, but they've been troopers. You really can't talk enough about our staff and our Board of Education and just how well they've all worked together throughout this pandemic. And like I said, created that great plan. And then we're just constantly in communication. And you know, the health department, our local health department's been a big part of that also. I'm in contact with them daily, and that has been, you know, very helpful for us also.
And I know you guys have been ordering laptops. I know, you know, some other school districts around the area have been ordering Chromebooks, laptops. Have those come in yet, or are they still kind of slow going as of right
those
now?
Those are still back ordered. We ordered 1,000, and I believe we ordered them June 4th. And we keep getting the, you know, it's going to be put back. The last
right.
I'd heard was mid-November. So, you know, they've got a few days now to get in. And I've got a feeling we're not going to see those until January.
Right.
But, you know, if they come in any sooner, we'll be thankful.
Yeah, those companies are just, they've been slammed, obviously.
Sure.
And it takes a while to get that stuff done.
Every school district in the state,
yeah.
or in the nation, I should say, is trying to, and probably the world, is trying to order all these laptops. So, you know, we understand that it is frustrating. Frustrating, but there's just really nothing you can do about it.
Right. I mean, you just got to kind of roll with the punches, so to speak.
And our teachers have done an amazing job. It really impacted our elementary school. Our secondary already had one-to-one. So it's mostly our elementary school that impacted. And our teachers, you know, they're very resilient and very resourceful, as always, as all teachers are. So they've done a great job. And when they come in, they'll come in, and then we'll pivot and shift gears a little bit when that happens.
Well, of course, we talked about early here, of course, the school board meeting is tonight. And if anybody would like to come out to that school board meeting, where is it located at and what time?
5 o'clock at 6:15 Ellis. And this evening, we're going to do something a little bit different. After the regular meeting, we will adjourn, and then we will rejoin over at the high school, and we're going to take the board on a little tour of our new fitness center that we've remodeled at the high school, and look at some of the improvements we've made to the gymnasium. So the board is really, really anxious to get in there and just see what we've done. And for those who don't know, we did a complete makeover of some of those facilities over there. And it's one of the COVID issues that we were able to use it as a positive. We saved, you know, quite a bit of money in the spring by not traveling, by canceling all those athletics. There was quite a bit of money that was already earmarked toward athletics, so we just took that and reinvested it back into the athletic program. And so they're going to be able to see some of the fruits of that labor this evening.
So that's going to be a great thing, and that will be again later on tonight. And of course, after that, the next regular meeting will be on December 14th, unless they're that's the next regular one, unless
right.
a special one has to be called at some point. Not sure we're foreseeing that as of right now, but again, that meeting is tonight at 5 p.m. over at the Education Center at 6:15 Ellis. And sir, if anybody has any questions they would like to ask, how can they get a hold of the school district?
You can call me at 620-252-6400. You can email me. My email address is on the website, or just stop in and visit.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Dr. Correll, spending some time with us, and we will talk to you again same time next month.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll have news at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.